Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast, where we help leaders build strong teams. Teams built on empathy, understanding, and trust, where every team member feels valued and contributes at the highest level possible.
Welcome, everyone, to the StrongTeams.com podcast. Possibly, Rodney, our final episode of 2022. How are you doing today, Rodney?
I'm doing amazing, Steve. And you?
Good, good. Has it been a good 2022 for you? It's been a good one for me.
It has. You know, it's like it flew by. I mean, I looked up and it was November, and I looked up again and it's December, and it's crazy. I cannot believe how fast the year has gone. It's crazy.
I know. And it seems like the closer you get to the end of the year, especially with the holidays, everything starts racing at you faster and faster. And but one of the things that I have really enjoyed about 2022, Rodney, is this new podcast. The StrongTeams.com podcast has been a blast for me. I hope it has been for you as well.
Yeah, it has. You know, I know we've only done, what, 7 episodes? One's dropping today again.
I think the one dropping today is eight total. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. So I have thoroughly enjoyed each one of them. I've learned from each one of our podcast guests. I've implemented things already from those podcast guests. So I'm not only hosting it with you, I'm learning, man. I'm implementing some of these things, these guys that have a lot of wisdom and knowledge are passing along. And I hope our listeners are too.
We're learning about the podcasting game itself, right? When we first started this thing, we had to figure out the best type of microphone to use and how to pull a podcast together and how to distribute it. So we've learned a lot about the actual art of podcasting, if you will. But most importantly, we've learned a lot of wisdom from our guests. And although we don't always have guests, I'll speak for myself. My favorite episodes are the ones where we invite a guest into the studio and talk to them and learn from them, learn from their experience in leadership and building strong teams. And so that's what I think it would be fun to talk about today is some of our favorite moments from our first season of podcast, our favorite quotes, if you will, from some of our guests. And this is not going to be an extensive list. We don't have time for that today, but I thought it might be fun to highlight a few of our favorite quotes from our guests.
So do you want to go in order of the people we interviewed? Is that the strategy you want to take? How do you want to go about chopping this thing up, Steve?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Let's go in order of the guest. First, we won't hit every guest, I don't think, but we can hit a lot of them. And we can start it. I think our first guest might have been Russ Ullman. Yes. With Ministry Advantage.
You're right, Steve. Russ Ullman, that was it. You know, Russ and I have done a lot of life together. We actually have vacationed together as families. And, you know, Russ and I were doing lots of events together through Willow Creek. Ministry Advantage was a ministry he was running at the time. He was a senior pastor as well, so he's a practitioner. Then he merged his church with Lake Point out in Rockwall, Texas, now a very large church. And so, you know, we were doing Willow Creek leadership events, he under Ministry Advantage, me under Leading From Your Strengths. And, you know, when we would go to Rockwall, Texas to do any kind of leadership event that we were doing locally, I had the great opportunity to stay with Russ and his family and sit around their dinner table. And unbeknownst to me, the first time I did that, you know, Russ, he talks about what happened around that dinner table. And very interesting, he wanted his son, which is about 12 or 13 at the time, to take the Leading From Your Strengths profile, and his wife and himself. And you know, they break out the dessert and their profiles, and we have a little session around the table that I never expected. And he talks about the transformation that actually happened around that table. You know, I'm going to play that for our listeners so that they can listen to it. And then I'll come back and debrief that for just a second.
Well, you came to our home. You came to town, and we had not known you a long time. And I'd taken the assessment. I'd had Susie, my wife, take the assessment. And so we were just blown away by what we were learning. We had started talking to each other differently and sort of using language and words that, you know, have to this day are kind of code language for us. And so we can kind of have that knowing look or just a word that helps us understand how to better relate to each other in the moment. Well, I had Steve and my son, he's our only child, and he's a brilliant kid and a great kid. And I think he was about 12 at the time. And I said, Steven, I'm doing this thing. And he, as an only child, you know, he wanted to be right in the middle of everything. And he wanted his friends to be my friends and my friends to be his friends. And he traveled with us around the world. And so we treated him that way. And so I said, I got this friend. I got this assessment I want you to take. You'll just do it on the computer right here in the office in the house. And it'll only take you about 10 minutes to take it. And then when I get the results back, I'll let you know what they say. Well, you and I both know that the results came back instantly, but I didn't tell him that because I wanted a moment. I wanted a little space to look at his assessment. So I still remember where I was standing. I remember reading his assessment, and he was in the house, but somewhere else he had taken the assessment. He had no idea that I had it, had the result already. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I think I'm doing everything I can to rear him right, to put values in him, to work with him, teach him how to work the way that worked for me. But he is so opposite of me, not just in his personality, which you could kind of see on the surface, but deep down, the nuances of how he's different. And I remember two things came to mind. If I keep leading him the way I'm trying to lead him and sort of forcing on him, he's not going to want to be around me when he turns 18 years old. He's going to be out and gone. And we're going to not have a great relationship together because I responded completely differently to leadership input and to guidance and to relational interactions than he does, completely differently. So I realized that I have to relate to him different. And I was like, Lord, I don't really know how to do this. It was the first time I really had to do this in a real personal way. And so that week we had was that Saturday was car washing day. And so my personality is let's get it done. Let's get it done fast. Maybe we can get them done faster than we did last time. Let's get everything out, put everything up and go on with our day. And I thought that was good. And that's how I was, you know, sort of brought up. And Steven's like, if you can't have fun while you're working, then why do it, right? It's like, and I would say to him, I knew that, and I knew that sort of about him. And I would say, let's work hard, and then we'll play at the when we're done. Let's get to the top of the mountain, then we'll play. Well, the truth was, I rarely slowed down enough to play. So, and a lot of times just went to the next thing. So that day we went out and we started washing the cars, and I thought, how do you do this? How do I relate to him in a way it's not natural for me, but I want to come into his world. And so I said, hey, go turn the water on. And he turned the hose on and he came around the corner. And as soon as he did, I sprayed him down with water, which was so different because I'm goofing off when we have a job to do. And I remember the look on his face was, who are you and what happened to my father? He had this really startled look on his face, like, you've lost your mind. And then this great big smile came on his face. And it was like game on. And we had a big water fight and suds fight for about 5 minutes. And Ronnie, the funny thing was, and I've related to him this way for the rest of his life. That one moment taught me how to relate to Steven. And in the back of my head, this little clock started running because it's not natural for me, but I want to come into his world. You have this principle you teach where you say, you can't change the way you want to be communicated with because God made you that way, but you can change the way you communicate with others if you love them and want to have a good relationship with them.
So as you can see, right, what happened around that table was transformational when Russ really found himself in a position to say, you know what, my son is different than me, and that's a good thing. And, you know, as Russ leaned into those differences, it became transformational for his son. And as you heard today, he would say that his relational capital is strong because of some of the things he learned through leading from your strengths and the principles that we teach. And so Russ is a great man. If you don't know much about Ministry Advantage, I'd strongly encourage you to go out and ministryadvantage.org, read about him, read about Russ. He might be able to help you turn your vision into reality if you're having a little struggle in that space. So I think our next guy that we interviewed was Jeff Brown, and there were some interesting things he had to say as well. He was really in this space of reading and leading. So what came out of that interview that just kind of really struck you, Steve?
I was excited about sitting down with Jeff Brown, and he definitely delivered. Jeff is the author of the book Read to Lead, and he's had a podcast around for over a decade by the same name, the Read to Lead podcast. So I was, if nothing else, selfishly, I was really wanting to, you know, talk with somebody that has been in the podcasting game as long as he has. And he delivered. He was had a whole studio set up on his end and talked a lot about how important reading is. And as niche as that sounds, as specific as that sounds, that was so interesting and so helpful to me. I'm sure it was to you as well. And specifically, he got on how to read more efficiently and effectively. And really, liberated me because he gave us his secret to reading books efficiently. And let's just listen to that for just a moment here.
Well, let me add this, Steve, and I think this is important to point out. When I say read, I don't mean that I have read every one of those books cover to cover. And I think that's a misnomer, a mistake a lot of people make, that a book's not read unless I've read 100% of it. And with nonfiction, I would implore you to write down, before you read any nonfiction book, why am I reading this book? What is it I want to get out of it? Why did I pick it up in the first place? Why did I buy it? And write that down on a piece of paper and identify what that is. Then go to the table of contents and look at the chapter titles and determine, well, what parts of this book, it may not be the whole book, it may be, but it may not be, what parts of this book right away get to that goal I'm trying to reach? Start with those chapters. Maybe that's chapter 3, 5, and 7. Then once you've read those chapters, if you can look at that goal you've written down on a piece of paper and come to the conclusion that you've reached it, having read those 3 chapters, guess what? You're done with that book. It's a read book, or you can be. You don't have to finish it, and you can go on your Goodreads account or wherever you announce it to the world and say, I've read that book, and say it with a straight face and with an honest face, because you did what you needed to, or got what you needed to get in order to go where you needed to go.
So after hearing Jeff say that, it made me much more excited about getting down that list of books or going through that list of books that I've been putting off for so long and digging into them, knowing that I didn't have to read every single page. I just needed to be purposeful about how I read and go into a book ahead of time, kind of knowing what I wanted to get out of it, and then let the chapters speak to me and choose those chapters based on what I needed to consume in that season of life. So I'm a bigger fan of the Read to Lead podcast now that we've had that time with Jeff, and appreciate him spending time with us.
You know, another thing I really appreciated coming out of that podcast was him talking about, if you're not writing, you're not thinking. If you're not taking notes, you're not thinking. In other words, if you're not processing what you're learning or what you're reading, you know, by taking notes and then, you know, journaling what that means to you and how you're applying it, you're really not thinking. That was another big thing that I took away. But I'd encourage our listeners to listen to that podcast as well. What a wonderful podcast. Jeff was a great, great guest. And, you know, Dan Rockwell comes to mind as well. That was episode 5. And Dan, he has a leadership blog called Leadership Freak. And Dan Rockwell, he talks about the importance of being willing to put projects on other people's plates, right? Instead of just holding them for yourself. And I think he said it something like I'll look that up. I'm going to play that for you right now too.
Here's a big one. You have to make a transition as you rise up in leadership from putting stuff on your plate to being willing to put stuff on other people's plate and actually let them feel weight. There is a misplaced compassion, I think, that happens where it's like, I don't want to, you know, we make a decision for people before we even ask them. Oh, their schedule's already over full. And I'm just telling you, there are people in organizations, and we've seen this over the years, there are people in organizations who are waiting to step up and feel the weight, and we don't even talk to them about it. But when we do, now there's a tension between support, between challenge and support. So, as you know, you got to get that right. You know, support is not taking away the challenge, but it's like you take the weight, and then there, especially if it's a first time, you want to like check in frequently. You want to, you know, what's, you know, not to like correct or anything like that, but how's the energy? How's your passion? What, talk to me about progress. You know, are you seeing that, you know, an end, you know, are you still able to be home and have dinner with the family? You know, all of those kind of things. But you still just go ahead and put the weight on people, let them feel it. This is the only way they really rise up. The coddling thing is for the birds. You know, we really need to encourage and help people bear the weight. I said all of that just to say, so often I see leaders who have done it themselves, right? They've taken on the weight, but when it comes time to put it on others, it's like they're a little hesitant about it. And it's, I think, a misplaced compassion.
Misplaced compassion, when you do not allow someone in which you're leading to feel the weight, to feel the responsibility of completing what they've committed to complete. Just, I mean, what a fascinating thought. I have used that now in a couple of different places after listening to that. What is it that I take off people's plate and I put back on my plate that really should be on their plate? And letting them feel that weight and journeying with them. Don't let them fail. Don't let them flounder, right? But walk with them and journey with them and resource them along the way so that they can not only feel the weight, but they can celebrate the accomplishment, right, of actually completing that task or completing what they have committed to complete. So I thought that was fascinating for me coming out of Dan Rockwell's interview. And once again, if you've not watched that interview, for that one nugget he gave us, there's 10 more in there. It was a fascinating interview to me, Steve.
It was. What a privilege it was to talk to the leadership freak himself. He has one of the best known, longest lasting, if you will, leadership blogs on the internet. And he advises senior leaders in Fortune 500 companies and in ministries. That was such a privilege. I'll tell you, speaking of a privilege, you were privileged to get to speak to Amy Anderson with the Unstuck group. And I was jealous, Rodney, because I was traveling at the time and could not be on that podcast. But you got to have a great conversation with Amy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that that interview?
Yeah, so the Unstuck group has been using our assessments and our core philosophy now for many years. They've been a great partner, and they use our tools with lots of different churches and church staffs, and we're grateful for their partnership. And so it was fascinating to have Amy Anderson on, and I want you to listen to this part of the interview in this podcast where Amy talks about the lid and how pastors can avoid becoming the lid.
One of the best ways I heard that summed up when I was working with the church is that all of us are necessary and that none of us are sufficient. And I think it's really important for us to understand that none of us are sufficient. And here's the deal. A lot of pastors just do too much, especially lead pastors. And it's because they feel the burden of ministry, but it actually becomes a lid to a church because the lead pastor, senior pastor, needs to focus on what only they can do and then bring those leaders around them, often with different strengths, right? And different gifts to carry it. And so when I often present, here's what I think your role should entail, they're often like, well, that's my dream job.
I love that comment that Amy made about the need to be all things to all people. We all struggle with that, Rodney, but especially those in high-profile ministry positions. And that high-profile doesn't mean you're in a large ministry. It just means that you are responsible for leading in a church and any type of ministry. And the pressure that comes from being in that position to know all and be all, I think plagues nearly everyone in ministry. And I appreciate her talking very openly about that, and then quickly helping us and the listeners resolve that.
It's so amazing to me that when we find ourselves falling into that trap of feeling that we have to be all things to all people, it always leads to a dead end, always leads to misery, that's for sure. You know, Steve, we also had another Steve, a good friend of yours, and I'm grateful that you introduced me to him, Steve Smith. And Steve is executive pastor. And so I thought it was so fascinating to hear how he opened our time together when we asked him the question, tell us what an executive pastor does, because we all have something in our mind, but what is it that really an executive pastor does? And I absolutely thought I was going to fall on the floor laughing.
Okay. I agree with you, Rodney. I've known Steve for 20 years. He has served in leadership in some of the most significant churches in the country. He's currently the executive pastor at First Baptist Church, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I'll be honest with you, Steve is he's a kind of a buttoned up guy. And so when he opened with that line about what an executive pastor did, I couldn't believe it. And let's listen to it now.
Sure. Well, my favorite description of an executive pastor came from my former executive pastor, who I served with at Brentwood Baptist in Nashville, and who remains a dear friend and a mentor to this day. And his description of the executive pastor goes something like this. The executive pastor does everything that the senior pastor can't do, won't do, shouldn't do, but that if he did do, we'd all be in deep do.
I like it. It's going to be a soundbite for us.
There you go. So I really like that description. But seriously, you know, I think the best way to characterize the executive pastor role, and there's so many different ways to characterize the purpose of that role, but I think the best way is just to assume that the executive pastor really is responsible for taking the overall mission and vision of the church, whether that's defined by the senior pastor or whether that's defined by an elder board or however the church is governed, to take that overall mission and vision and then break that down into strategies and tactics and objectives that can help the church reach that mission and vision.
That was good. I'll tell you, Steve Smith gave us the soundbite of season one with his answer to what does an executive pastor do?
Steve,
yeah, yes, I know. You said it, I didn't, Rodney, but so accurate. And he's been serving out there as the executive pastor in Broken Arrow, at First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I can tell you that Steve delivered a great podcast interview. Don't you agree, Rodney?
I do. I'll tell you what, if you're an executive pastor, he gave so many nuggets, so much wisdom. I mean, he basically, on this podcast, he put a thesis together for an executive pastor that I think would serve any executive pastor, administrative pastor, extremely well. What an amazing interview.
I agree. We are so thankful. I'll tell you, as we said at the beginning of this episode, Rodney, we are so thankful for the guests that were willing to come on our startup podcast in its first season and really take it to a whole another level. And Rodney, we have got some great guests already lined up for 2023, starting here in just a few weeks.
Yeah, we do. We're about to release one today, I think it is, that we just put in the can, that I think is just absolutely another great one. But do you have a list of, I know I should know this, Steve, but do you have a quick list of maybe who the next two or three guests might be?
Well, we have Sean Dean from Standing Stone Ministry, an international ministry that walks alongside pastors around the world. And that's going to be, we're going to open strong with the interview with Sean Dean. And then I'm going to keep the others a little bit of a secret, Rodney, but let me tell you, we've got a wide variety, from coaches to members of the military to former Chick-fil-A executives. We have got quite the list lined up. I'm excited about it. And I want to remind the folks that listen that if you have a favorite quote or guest, feel free to drop it into the comments. If you watch us on YouTube, there's a comment section there you can drop it into or include it in a review of this podcast. You know, your reviews actually help us get seen and heard on the various podcasting listening apps. So don't be shy. Go out there and drop a review in for us if you think about it.
Yes, please do. And listen, until we see you again, hopefully you'll see this particular podcast before Christmas and New Year. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We look forward to see you in 2023.